Matthew chapter 27, verse number 45 through 54. Let's read responsively. Now, from the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I'm so glad that we have a God that conquered death. We have a God that didn't stay in the grave. We have a God that's not made out of wood or stone. We have a risen Savior. Help us today, Lord, as we take a look at your word. Teach us something that we need. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your wisdom. And God, please use this service. Change eternity by it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to let them get settled. Now, if you'll look at me, honestly, unless it's an absolute emergency, I don't want anybody leaving for the next 30 minutes. I know I've got some that need to step out from time to time, but you sit near the door, and I appreciate that. But I need everybody still. I need you to pay attention. Honestly, folks just don't know how to listen anymore, and I need your attention today. Today is Easter, or what I like to call Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that proves that Jesus is God. You see, he is the only one of the quote-unquote gods that ever conquered death. Do you know Buddha's still in the grave? Muhammad's still in the grave? Do you know that Allah, who never was, is still in the grave? Do you know that every other god is either a piece of stone, a piece of wood, or something ethereal, or they died and never resurrected? Jesus is the only one that got out of the grave. Amen. You have to understand something that proves that Jesus is the God. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the God of all gods. Jesus at Calvary and at the resurrection was fulfilling the rest of the plan of salvation. As our sacrificial lamb, he had to shed his blood. As our high priest, he had to resurrect and put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. But he also had to suffer for our sin. It's a bit of a process. Just as in the Old Testament, the cities of refuge, a person who had done wrong, not with malice or pre-planning, was safe in that city as long as the high priest was alive. Watch this. Did you know that once you trust Jesus as your Savior, since he is our high priest, you are safe as long as our high priest lives and our high priest is eternal in the heavens. He will never die. That means your eternal salvation is settled. That's boom. If you're saved, listen to this, you're as saved as Jesus is. Amen. Did you know you can no more lose your salvation than Jesus Christ himself? You are just as secure. You say, you sound pretty confident, preacher. I'm not pretty confident. God's word's pretty plain. Amen. There it is. It's not my word. It's the words of God. You see, Jesus paid your sin debt and put his righteousness on your account. Amen. The moment you trust Jesus Christ, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we cannot be righteous enough, but God says in Romans 6 that he imputes his righteousness to us. Amen. That means not only is your sin washed away, but all of the righteousness of Christ is added to your life. Not only are you sinless in God's eyes, but you are righteous in his eyes because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ added to your account. It takes both, not just one.
Amen.
Now, let me remind you. Good Friday is a religious farce and it's not biblical.
That's right.
There are not 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way. Hate to disappoint you. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday and resurrected on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to go into it. About 4 years ago, I preached a whole sermon on this on Easter Sunday, and boy, did I get some people mad at me. But it was great. Can I tell you something? We accept too much ritualism. We accept too much modernism as fact when it's not. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I take what that Bible says, not what a denomination says.
Amen.
Church is not the headquarters. The Word of God is the headquarters.
Amen.
The New Jerusalem is not Martinsburg.
Amen.
Not the Vatican. I'm just going to stop right there. You must understand something. Calvary is part of the resurrection. We read in Matthew 27 a part of the last part of Jesus being on the cross, but we have to go back to that to understand all about the resurrection. It's all related as one. Calvary was a bit more, and I'm going to use this word, a bit of a process than just the crucifying of Jesus. Jesus's life was just as important as Jesus's death and resurrection.
Amen.
Do you remember Christmas? He was born of a virgin. By the way, he was not only the only one born of a virgin, but he was also the only one born of a virgin who resurrected and conquered death.
Amen.
It took a virgin birth because a virgin birth meant he did not have an earthly father. He had a heavenly father, a sinless father. The blood of a child is passed through the father. Mary was not impregnated by Joseph. She was impregnated by the Father himself. Are we doing okay? Her body was the vessel that birthed the body of Jesus, but she is not the mother of God. You don't get closer to Jesus by praying to Mary.
Amen.
Are we doing okay? Mary was a good lady. But the Bible says, blessed art thou among women. Do you know in the Old Testament, there's a lady named Deborah. She's one of the judges of Israel. It's the only lady in the Bible where it says this, blessed art thou above women. Deborah had more ranking than Mary did. Are they doing okay? So it wasn't just that she was blessed. By the way, the Catholics will tell you that Mary was virgin born as well. Well, I hate to tell you something, but Jesus had at least three brothers and three sisters each. She didn't stay a virgin. You read Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says Joseph kept himself from her till Jesus was born. He was a good man, but he was not the father of Jesus.
Amen.
So, we have to understand the virgin birth is important. Jesus living a sinless life was important. Without that, there is no salvation. Now, listen to me very carefully. Calvary was a plot by the religious world of the temple to destroy and to kill Jesus. I won't go to the book Luke. We were there a week or two ago, and I showed you how that it was the religious crowd that sought Jesus. It was the temple guards that met him in the Garden of Gethsemane with Judas Iscariot, and they said, we sought for a way to kill him. They didn't want their hands bloodied with it, so they said, look, he's guilty of treason. He claimed to be the king of the Jews just a few days ago. When he came into the city on what you would call Palm Sunday, they said, hail, king of the Jews. They used that against him. Sounds like modern day press, doesn't it? They used it against him to say that he was treasonous. And Pilate said, look, I can't crucify him for what he's done to you religiously. They said, well, he claims to be the king. Oh, we can get him for that. But it was the religious crowd that wanted him dead. They got the politicians involved to get rid of him so they didn't look as bad. You say, why was it the temple? Because Jesus had established the church and he was doing away with the temple. That's why they got mad when he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. He was talking about his body, not theirs. He was done with temple. He had fulfilled everything about temple worship. It all was a picture about what Jesus would do. That's why he said, upon this rock I will build my church.
Amen.
We are not to be like the Old Testament tabernacle and temple.
That's right.
There's nothing about it because Jesus fulfilled it. And according to Colossians chapter 2, all of those things were nailed to the cross. He fulfilled them all as the Lamb, but watch this, he resurrected as our high priest.
Amen.
He not only took care of the sacrifice, but he was also the high priest that went to the tabernacle in heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and said, Father, it is finished. I've paid the price.
Amen.
Now, listen to me very carefully. Religion is man telling God how God must accept man to get to heaven. Christianity is us trusting what Jesus did and doesn't matter what man says. It's either you do something to get it or it was done and you accept it by faith. That's all it is. Now, Jesus had been beaten with a cat of nine tails. A crown of thorns was beaten onto his brow. And by the way, it was not the one that's at Notre Dame. Snap, crackle, and pop. Yeah. Can I tell you something? They reached up and pulled his beard out by the handful. The Bible says that he was beaten so badly they couldn't tell if it was a man or a beast that they had hung on that cross. They put nails in his hand and nails in his feet, put him up on an old piece of wood, and dropped that pole down into a hole. And when it hit the bottom, it shook so hard that every joint in his body came out of place. And for 9 hours, he hung there and with every breath would lift himself up to breathe in and let himself down to breathe out for 9 hours. Why did he do that? For you and for me. So that God could have man back. Now listen to this. There's so much I could go into, I won't. But I've broken down the resurrection into what I call 3D resurrection. 3D resurrection, not three-dimensional, but 3Ds. Number one, the first D is found in Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse number 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. First D is the darkness. Now listen to this very carefully. This darkness was God turning his back on Jesus Christ. The only time in the history of the universe where God did not look on his son. God said, Jesus, you are going to suffer for man's sin, and I cannot look on sin. The Bible says God cannot look on sin. And for 3 hours, God, while Jesus hung on the cross, turned his back and the world was dark. Say, how do you know that took place? By the way, the Holy Spirit did as well. Because if you look in verse number 46, it said in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You have God the Father, you have God the Holy Ghost, who turned their back on God the Son. He wasn't stuttering. He did not have the comfort and the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. He did not have the presence of God the Father. And for 3 hours, he suffered without the presence of God in his life. He was suffering our hell for us on the cross. Folks, hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of eternal falling. And hell is a place that is the total absence of the presence of God. Hell is a place of total darkness. And for 3 hours, by the way, the worst part of hell is not the fire, it is the absence of the presence of God. Look how bad our world is, and yet we still have a glimpse of the presence of God.
Amen.
Imagine what it'll be like when there is no presence of God.
That's right.
Hell is the absence of the presence of God. And from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, Jesus hung there, suffering without the Holy Spirit, without the Father, and without their comfort to bear your sin debt for you. The darkness. Darkness is usually associated with sin and evil. John chapter 3, verse number 19 says, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. In other words, darkness and evil go together. Luke chapter 22, verse number 53, the Bible says that Jesus said unto the devil, this is your hour and the power of darkness. He was speaking to the devil himself. And he called him the power of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11 says, there is no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It goes into the list of the works of the flesh as reference to darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, talks about rulers of the darkness of the powers of this world. Folks, darkness is usually associated with sin and evil. I don't go to bars. I've preached in three, and I delivered pizza to one. Those are the only four bars I've been in my life and preached in three out of the four. Can I tell you something? There's not a one of them that's brightly lit. Did you ever notice that the more sinful the place, the darker the things are? Everybody doing okay? You see, sin and evil are associated with darkness. You have something called black magic. Dark magic. There's no such thing as good magic, just so you know. It's all satanically influenced. Wizardry. I don't care if it's on Disney. Don't care if it's on the cartoon. Don't care if it's in real life. It's still wicked as hell. Harry Potter is evil. It's not entertainment. It's Satanism. It's witchcraft. That one's going to get me in trouble. Jesus suffered our hell by going through the darkness of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, turning away from them. I was at a funeral yesterday preaching. Brother Harry and Miss Kathy were there, and Danny was there. I made this statement, and I've made it often. Did you realize that hell was not created for man?
That's right.
Book of Matthew says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. See, Lucifer was one time an archangel, and he was cast out of heaven according to Isaiah chapter 14. He was cast out of heaven for the same sin that we committed in the Garden of Eden. But that happened before man was created. Hell was created and the devil and his angels were kicked out of heaven. God created man. Now watch this. And when man sinned by listening to the devil, hey, you don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. You can decide right and wrong for yourself. God said Satan said to Eve, in the day thou eatest, you could be like gods, knowing good and evil. You could decide good and evil for yourself. You can be your own God. What was that? Sounds a lot like Isaiah 14. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. And when man committed the very same sin that Lucifer committed, the same punishment had to be inflicted on man according to God's justice. Watch this, though. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't come and die for the devil and his angels?
That's right.
But he loved you so much that he came and died for you. Did you ever realize that God loved you so much that Jesus was willing to author and finish our salvation so that we could be restored with God the Father? That's why the Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. It had to be enlarged because man was not supposed to be there. God had to make it bigger so that man, who did not get saved, would end up going there. It was not a matter of God sending them there. God sent us Jesus to pay our sin debt so we don't have to die and go to hell.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Why do we choose to reject him and live in darkness? Why does man choose to reject God and live in darkness? People want to shoot drugs in their veins. Crack and heroin. They want to smoke drugs. They want to drink booze till they're out of their head. Can I tell you something? If you just get saved and start living for God, all that stuff goes away. By the way, it's darkness. Say, well, if you do that, are you on your way to hell? No, but you'll probably get to heaven faster. I'm not saying it's going to send you to hell, but I'll tell you this, it's going to send you to the grave a whole lot faster. Why do you want to live like you're on your way to hell while you're supposed to be living like you're on your way to heaven? I'm not being crude. I'm asking you a straight question. We need to quit living in darkness and start living in his presence. Folks, can I tell you something? I feel sorry for the world. You say, well, preacher, you're weird. I've been called a lot worse than that. Don't worry about it. I don't have to paint my hair green and yellow and red and orange. I don't have to get in a fight with a pop rivet gun and have stuff plastered all over my face. I don't got to run through a tattoo shop and look like I hit the print shop and rolled over three times. Can you imagine what those things are going to look like when they hit 90 years old? Good night. There's not enough facelift there to pull up. Amen. That cute babe you have on your arm is going to look like granny before it's done. Amen. You'll need to get the iron out to get the wrinkles out. Can I tell you something? How about we just decide we're going to live in the light? I'm having too much fun. I really am. Can I tell you something? God's great.
Amen.
Well, you're just a little strange. No, they're the weird ones. You know, they shave half their head and half of it's long, half man, half woman. They don't even know what bathroom to use. Folks, can I tell you something? I learned a long time ago, it doesn't take but out that long to figure out which one to use. Just look at the plumbing, you'll know which way to go. I'm talking about the bathroom, all right? If they're on the wall, man, you're in the right one. If they're not, better look at the door again. And by the way, when I was born, I didn't have a birth certificate that said to be determined later. Brother Mike, you go out to the farm and the cows are born. It takes about half a second. That's a heifer. That's a bull. That's a heifer. That's a bull. It doesn't take real long to figure it out. Folks, it's no harder for a people.
Amen.
One look, all cared for. Well, preacher, what does that mean? If you don't know that, go talk to your mama. Our world is so messed up that we don't even know if we're a man or a woman. Bless God, I know.
Amen.
Doesn't take me long to figure it out. The darkness. That darkness was important because that darkness represented our sin and our evil, and Jesus was suffering our hell for us in that darkness. D number two is found in verse number 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. That is the word death. Jesus had to die for you and for me. First D is darkness. The second D is death. You see, Jesus, listen to this, had to pay the penalty of sin and death. Turn to Romans chapter 6, just a few pages over, and I'm really wanting to come unscrewed here and just cut loose. Romans chapter 6, look at verse number 23. For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
That means Jesus had to pay the price of sin and death. According to Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all, for that all have sinned." In other words, Jesus was paying the sin debt, and the only way to pay it was by death. Now listen to this very carefully. According to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse number 18, when he resurrected and he went to hell and grabbed the keys of sin and he conquered it. According to Revelation 1, 18, he resurrected and held the keys to the kingdom over sin and death. Now watch this. I'm about to have a spell. Matthew chapter 16. Turn there. Matthew chapter 16, just a few pages back from where we were in chapter 27. If the old man starts shouting, don't worry, I'm okay.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, look at verse number 18. This is Jesus speaking. He say, "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Watch this. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now watch this. The church are the keys to getting people saved. The church are the keys of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out around the world. Can I tell you something? A church that does not preach the gospel is not a church. I don't care what the name on the sign is.
Amen, that's right.
If a church says you get to heaven by getting baptized, it's not a church biblically. If a church says you get to heaven by living a certain lifestyle and doing certain things, it is not a church according to the Bible. A church is there to preach the gospel, the virgin birth, the sinless life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus as total payment for sin. And it's only by grace through faith that a person gets saved.
Amen.
You see, proof we're all sinners, we're all going to die.
That's right.
I preached a funeral for a 16-year-old girl yesterday. Sad. I've preached funerals, my wife will tell you. I've preached funerals for a casket that sit on top of that pulpit right there for little babies. I've preached funerals for people over 100 years old. Death is not a respecter of age. We're not guaranteed another heartbeat. Can I tell you something? Caskets come in all sizes. By the way, this is what God told Adam in Genesis chapter 3. When man sinned, he looked at Adam and Eve and he said, "Look, you have tried to cover yourself with aprons of leaves." He said, "That won't do. You can't do it yourself." And God performed the first death on earth, and he sacrificed animals and made them coats of skin. Watch this. Adam and Eve made aprons. God made coats. An apron doesn't cover as much as a coat. Everybody doing okay? You know, an apron just covers the bare necessities. Guess what? God said, "I'm going to cover you from top to bottom. I'm going to cover you all the way." Guess what happens when you kill something and you skin it? What has to be shed? Blood. Jesus was our Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. That's why in Genesis 3:15 said that Jesus would crush the serpent's head, but it would bruise his heel. Calvary was just a bruise in the heel of Satan, but it crushed the head of the devil. It was just a bruise on the heel of Jesus. I'm sorry, I think I said that wrong. As Jesus stepped on old serpent's head, it bruised his heel, but can I tell you something? It crushed the old devil's head. Matter of fact, God even used the devil for Calvary. They call it the greatest sucker punch in history. Because the Bible says, had he known it, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He hid the plan of salvation from the devil for 4,000 years. So that when he crucified him, the devil for 3 days and three nights said, I got him. But on that Sunday morning, the earth began to shake. The stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. And he said, uh-oh. We got troubles, Houston. So we have the death. Number three, I've got to hurry. This one, I'll just give you because we're running out of time real fast here. The third D, first D is darkness. Second D is death. The third D is doubt. Did you notice 3 days and three nights he was in the grave? They wondered, is he really going to get up? Matter of fact, the disciples quit the ministry and went back to fishing. They went back to their old professions. They had enough doubt that they didn't think that Jesus would be able to overcome this. Hey, by the way, you die and see if you can resurrect yourself. Can you blame them? I've said that, Brother Bob, you've heard me say it a ton. I've preached a lot of funerals, but if one of them get up out of that box, I'm gone.
Amen.
I'm not sticking around if they get up out of that casket. Not gonna happen. Say why? I am not about to stay around when somebody dead gets up.
Amen.
Say, what are you going to do?
I'm out of here.
I get out of there faster than my mom seeing a snake. And that's pretty fast. Can I tell you something? The Bible says faith requires doubt. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Guess what? There is always doubt in faith.
That's right.
If there is no doubt, there is no faith. Everybody doing okay? You can't have faith without having doubt. I'll show you something in a moment here. Faith with no doubt is fact able to be seen. Fact able to be seen does not involve faith. Now listen to this. No one ever resurrected on their own from the dead before Jesus. No wonder they doubted it. But can I tell you something? He gave them some signs that it was really going to happen. Turn back to Matthew chapter 27 again. This is part of the resurrection people don't understand. You don't hear this preach much. I preached a few years ago on this and had a time with it. It was pretty funny. Look at verse number 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. When Jesus died, the Bible says many of the graves of the Old Testament saints opened up and they sat up in their tombs. Now, folks, I was at the cemetery yesterday. Harry and Kathy and some others were there. If while I was there, the graves popped open and people started sitting up, my car was first in line to leave. There was a reason. Mm-hmm. For 3 days and three nights, those bodies sat up in the graves that were opened all on their own. And the Bible says, after Jesus resurrected, look at verse 53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Those bodies got up out of the grave and walked into the city of Jerusalem with Jesus, talking and walking with people. Mm-hmm. Is it no wonder that in verse 54 at the very end, I love this. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the great earthquake and those things, which things? People sitting up in the grave and walking into town that were dead for God knows how long. Watch this. They feared greatly. Mm-hmm. Saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Wouldn't you say that? It wasn't David Copperfield. It wasn't Nintendo. You see, faith requires some doubt. They doubted that Jesus was actually the Son of God. Could he really do what he said he would do? Yes, he did.
Amen.
But we didn't know that till he did it. Hate to disappoint you. There had to be 3 days and three nights that Jesus was dead. According to Hebrew law, somebody was not officially dead until they had been dead 3 days and three nights. Hebrew law dictated 3 days, three nights before somebody was officially dead. He fulfilled all the requirements. But when he got up, he took his grave clothes off, folded them, and left them on the stone there. He said, I'm coming back. Don't worry. I love this. Here's where I'm going to shout. Jesus removed all doubt that he was the Son of God. He removed all doubt. Can I tell you something? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Can I tell you why? Because if you trust yourself, there's doubt.
That's right.
Why? Because you're a sinner.
Yes, sir.
So it takes faith in Jesus Christ. Come back tonight. I'm preaching a sermon called Little Faith. Oh, you need to hear it. I wanted to preach both of them today, but I don't have time. Can I tell you something? Faith is required for salvation because you have to trust something that you cannot control. Please allow me to be personal and maybe a little vain. Last week was a pretty hard week, especially just before last week, even the end of the week before. We had to make a determination of what day we were going to open the building. I remember talking to our builder, and I said, Jimmy, is it going to be the 28th or is it going to be the 5th? He said, I'm pretty comfortable with the 5th. I said, I don't need pretty comfortable. I said, I got to get everything ready. He said, I'm pretty sure we can do that, preacher. I said, okay. I got in my truck, and I was shaking. I said, God, we've got to send things to get printed. We've got tracks to get printed. We've got other stuff that needs done. We've got utilities that need contacted. We've got landlord that needs contacted. We've got just a myriad of details, banks, and I mean just unbelievable amount of stuff. I got to tell a whole group of people. And if I'm wrong this time, I'm dead. I've been wrong enough. I said, it's going to take some faith. I picked up my phone. I called Mrs. Barnes here at the church. I said, Mrs. Barnes, May 5th the day, start the presses. Get it rolling. I'll be back in just a little while. And I hung up. I had a 15-minute drive from there, Brother Bob, and I was shaking the whole way. I sat in the parking lot. It felt like somebody had, Brother Mike, put about 4 tons on my shoulders. And I said, God, I can't take this. I said, I'm living by faith. I'm going to do what you said do, but you gave me confirmation. Now, you take the load. I got out of my truck, and I was like, whew. By the time I hit the door, opened the door, and hit the steps, I ran up the steps. I said, bless God. No, nobody saw all the doubt in the 20 minutes before then. Just me and God in the truck. But there was a little bit of doubt. Just so you know. Bob knows I'm there 2-3 times a day. I'm kicking guys in the rear, getting them going. I said, look, May 5. I went out and got a sign printed, so May 5. And I'm thinking, as long as Jimmy doesn't throw a fit, we're okay. We put that sign out there, and Jimmy came back. He said, saw your sign. He said, looks good. Some of the faith is kicking in, amen? You understand, it takes a little bit of faith. You ought to be the one standing up in front of a group of people and saying, let's buy some land and go put a building on it that's never been on there. In a room like this. You got to be half nuts. And the other half isn't real smart either. So what is it? Faith. But faith is about to become sight. Didn't you have days of doubt like I did? Did you wonder if we'd ever get there? I had to laugh. Those of you that were here a couple years ago, we went out and cleared off the property a little bit. There must have been 150,000 plastic pots. It was a tree nursery. I mean, we had a 21-yard dumpster, as full as you can get it, with the biggest people we had jumping on them. I'm not kidding. We had three or four people in there jumping up and down, if you remember. They were final grade in some areas, and I took a picture and sent it to a couple people. There's a crushed black plastic pot there. I said, we missed one. We missed a lot of them, just so you know. There's still a whole bunch of them out there. Took a little bit of faith. Do you know how you get to heaven? Not by works of your righteousness, by what he did for you. It is not a matter of what you do to get salvation. Did you know when you were born, you had nothing to do with it? You had nothing to do with your own birth. Absolutely nothing. Just like you have absolutely nothing to do with your new birth other than accepting what Jesus Christ did for you. Oh, what a beautiful picture. You don't get to heaven by joining this church. You don't get to heaven by being baptized. You don't get to heaven by being a good person. Say why? Because you're not good enough to get there. You're not perfect. You're not only sinless, but you're not perfect in doing all the righteousness necessary. You only get it by faith in Jesus Christ. I can tell you this. The day they preach my funeral, don't cry. Everything's okay. I'll be up there playing tag with the angels and having the time of my eternity. Yeah, buddy, I'm coming up. I'm going to make everybody mad. Amen. I plan on going by the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. But if I go by the Undertaker, guess what? It's okay. I'm confident. Can I tell you something? This is what I call the 3D of resurrection. The darkness, the death, and the doubt. But can I tell you something? Sunday morning came, and up from the grave he arose.
Amen.
The mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor. He came back from death. He conquered death. He had completed it. He died as our lamb, but he resurrected as our high priest. And he put his own blood on the mercy seat for you and for me.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? How about we quit living in darkness? How about we get ready for death? This life is short. Eternity is long. May I say this? Many ought to step out by faith and do what you're afraid to do because of doubt. You know, the Christian life requires a little bit of faith. I've knocked on millions of doors. Going soul winning. You know what my first thought is? Lord, I hope they're not home. But something happens. When I knock on that door, and I'm thinking, ooh, I hope they're not home. And all of a sudden I hear the, or the creak, creak, creak. If I can get through the first 3 seconds, I'm okay. That door pops open, and I say, folks, I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. We're going through the air. Y'all get to go to church anywhere regular. If I can get through that, everything else is fine. All of a sudden, we talk for a while, and I'll say, let me ask you a question. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? Many times, they'll say no. But the Barnes, just a couple weeks ago, and I were out and talked to two men. I said, no, I don't know that for sure. And I said, well, let me take the Bible and show you. And I showed them that we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, we all have a penalty on our sin, which is death and hell. And that Jesus Christ came and paid that sin debt. By then, I'm glad they opened the door, and I'm about ready to come unscrewed. And I show them how that if they'll just trust Jesus Christ and that alone to take them to heaven, that's what takes you to heaven. It's not going to church. You know, if you were born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. Just because you go to church, it doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't matter where you're going that way. Matters on what you're doing with Jesus. Because all you have to do is by faith accept what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven, and that quick you're on your way. It's that fast. Well, I just have some doubt. Good, then you have opportunity for faith. Well, how do you know? You can believe in something you can't see. You can't see your heart. Well, I know it's there. I can feel it. Guess what? I've seen God work. Trust me, it's okay. A lot of things you can't see that you believe in. You can't see electricity, but I'll let you touch two wires. You might not be able to see it, but you're going to know it's there. Your lips will smack your ears off. Can I tell you something? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean you don't have faith. Not a one of you came in here and picked the chair up and made sure all the welds were strong. You had enough faith to plop your blessed assurance down. Guess what? Why don't you have enough faith to trust Jesus Christ to take you to heaven when you die?
Amen.
The three D's of the resurrection. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Let's give each other the respect that each of us need. But who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, thank you. You may put your hands down. I appreciate that. There were some that did not know, and that's fine. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, and by the way, I won't call your name, I won't come to you, I won't embarrass you, I'd never do that, never have, never will. Would you say, preacher, I don't know that for sure, but someday I'd like to know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today for me personally. Would you raise your hands? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand for any reason, how about you come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar? Just get it right with the Lord. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and you'd like to join this church, we'd love to have you. Whatever the need, how about you come?